Ivan realizes that he has to trust this man 100% or not at all. This makes him see his mistake. It hits him like a heavy blow that this is all wrong. He cannot spy on Emma like this. He will have to wait until he can talk to her. He's only entitled to such information about her as she is prepared to share with him. He walks to the seafront and heads east. Soon he reaches the small hotel where he has set up his headquarters for the time being. It was very good of John to suggest he should relax by the sea for a week or two. Stepping into his hotel room, Ivan takes off his jacket and flings it on the large double bed. He enters the bathroom and looks at himself in the mirror. He is quite a good-looking fellow, after all. His straight dark hair is fresh and suggests a dependable, if unpredictable, character. If you look at it from the right angle, his face resembles that of some romantic film star in the 1930s, a young Olivier or such. His deep-set, dark eyes corroborate this impression, yet there is nothing devilish about him. In a way, he looks terribly ordinary. He is clean-shaven. For a moment, he remembers the relief he felt when he shaved off his stubbly beard 3 months ago, and his cheeks still sport the smoothness of a man 20 years his junior. He feels no vanity about his good looks, he's merely conscious of it. He knows that he is the type that inspires confidence, especially with women his own age, and they are the most interesting. He leans closer to the mirror and flexes his facial muscles, pouts his lips for a second, then raises his eyebrows. Yes, he is satisfied. His injuries are healing nicely, and his handsome face will be restored to him in a short while. He does not worry about the blue and yellowish stains on his forehead or the swollen shape of his nose. Even the purple line across his chin, the line caused by the stitches from the hospital, seems incapable of damaging his looks in the long run. His normal routine of looking at himself in a mirror includes taking off his shirt and inspecting the athletic shape of his torso, but right now he does not feel up to it. Is it that he's afraid of detecting a slight weakness, a flabby stomach, or a softening of his breast muscles? No, he just doesn't want to look at his torso right now. No fears, no hidden agenda, just that. He is satisfied with himself as he sees himself now, in his tailored shirt and with his tie on. He walks back to the bedroom and sits down on the easy chair by the window. He picks up the newspaper from the bedside table and tries to relax. The paper is The Times in the old format, not the tabloid version. It is full of reports from the Middle East, Iraq, Palestine, and Ivan is drawn into the world of international affairs. While he's reading the various articles on world politics, he's beginning to connect them with the developments of the new markets that his company is trying to open in the Far East. Only 3 weeks ago, John said Ivan might have to go to China for a consultation with some potential business partners over there. But now that the deal with Korea has fallen through... Gradually, Ivan's mind is absorbed by professional considerations, professional perspectives, and professional views of the world. By the time he reaches the personal columns, he has already concocted a few new ideas that he can discuss with John on Thursday. His mind is still strutting across the stage of business opportunities when it is arrested by a single word in bold print in the personal columns. Emma. It is an item about some other Emma, certainly not his Emma, obviously an older person. He is surprised to catch himself thinking of Ms. Richardson as his Emma. He must be going crazy. What is that woman to him? She was seriously injured by his negligence, so they have been connected by fate. Pure coincidence. It could have been a different person in the other car. He could have stopped for petrol in Croydon. Then he would not have been in that roundabout at that time, and the red Nissan and the lorry would probably have got past each other without any difficulties. Yes, but he didn't stop for petrol, and he was there at the exact moment to cause that accident with the red Nissan and the lorry. And it was her in the Nissan. And that connected him with her, his life with hers. It never occurs to him to wonder about the lorry driver. It is only Emma that catches his attention. Emma and her fate absolutely envelop him. She becomes part of his daily existence.